Hurdles of Faith. That's the title of this morning's message. And some of you will remember from last week we talked about healthy churches. And this is the next installment in this series that we're going to be looking at over the coming weeks. And I'll be preaching on Sundays, but also in the home groups we'll be looking at the material to see how healthy we are. And the basis of this resource that I've been working through, and the leaders have kind of helped me go through this as well, is that a number of churches grew during the 90s in a particular area in the north of England when a number of other churches in the same area were declining. And that raised some curiosity from those that sit in ivory towers, if you like. And they went through a process to see what was it about these churches that made them buck the trend. And after a period of research and understanding, they came up with these marks, these particular marks of churches that grow. And the thing is that healthy things grow. If a plant is healthy, it grows. If we're healthy, we grow and flourish. And so if by focusing on us being a healthy church, then the byproduct of good health is growth. And growth is, you know, for us, as we think about it as a church, not one-directional, but it's multi-directional. It helps us to grow in maturity towards the full stature of Jesus, as we're inspired and encouraged to in the book of Ephesians. We can grow and become more Christ-like. That's the challenge, the desire for each one of us. But also, as a fellowship together, we can grow in love, in purity, in devotion to one another. And also, as we grow and become more like Christ, then God would add to this fellowship, and numerical growth would be part of the package as well. That is our desire as we look through this material, that God would help each one of us to grow and become more like Him, and so that He can do all that He wants to in us as individuals, but also through us as a community of His people. But let's get into the passage and let's have a look at some of the hurdles. The first hurdle, potentially the most intimidating and the most daunting. You're on the starting blocks, you're looking down the track, and you see the first obstacle. And you think, I need to get this right. I need to get my pacing right. I need to stand up right at the right point and then approach the hurdle in the right way and step over it so that it will set me up for the rest of the race. Verse 22 of the passage that was read for us in Matthew chapter 15. A Canaanite woman that was from that vicinity came to him, crying out, Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. The first hurdle. You see, faith helps us to overcome barriers. And the first one for her was that she was a woman and he was a man. And that's not, it's like, why would that be strange for us? For us today, that's like, well, men and women just talk to one another as you need to. That's kind of normal. But back then in that setting, that was a barrier that she needed to overcome. Jesus was a Jewish man. And she was Gentile, or a non-Jew. And these two communities stayed apart as far as possible back then. They were hostile towards one another. There were certain rules and regulations surrounding the Jewish faith that they didn't go certain places. They didn't engage with certain people groups because they were set apart and they wanted to remain pure for their God. The closest comparison I can think of between a Canaanite woman and Jesus, a Jewish man, would be possibly some of the hostilities we see between Israel and Palestine today. It's very clash. You know, one side says this, and the other side says that, and the other side says this, and it just goes on and on. But there is another element to this that could very easily go unnoticed. And that is in her description. She is a Canaanite woman. A Canaanite woman. And Jesus is a Jewish person. You see, the Canaanites were the original inhabitants of the land. Her ancestors and Jesus' ancestors clashed in battle. The Jewish people, the nation of Israel, won. And that's why they live there. But she's a Canaanite woman, and he's a Jewish man. She has to overcome generations of hostility towards these people to come and speak to this individual, to come and seek help from this individual. What barriers do we have? What hostilities are buried deep within us? Things that could go back generations. You see, this woman has become a role model to us. Because in spite of all those barriers, that she's a woman and he's a man, that she's not Jewish and he is, that she's Canaanite and he's an Israelite. And in the past, they have battled those two nations. Her faith, and not just her faith in anything, but her faith in Jesus in particular, makes her, enables her to overcome every one of those barriers and go and seek the help that she desires. Is our faith such a strong faith that it enables us, empowers us, equips us to overcome the barriers that we face in our life, the challenges, the issues, whether it's around gender or race or different people groups or social backgrounds, mixed ability, able-bodied, disabled, age, any kind of false separation of human people. Whatever one it is that's in you and in me. See, faith in Jesus is meant to empower and enable us to overcome these obstacles. The book talks about us being energized by our faith. Energy, you know, enables you to do things, push through stuff that would otherwise be difficult to do. So our question as we face the first hurdle, what is it? What is it for us? What is our obstacle or obstacles? How is our faith in Jesus going to help us overcome those barriers so that we can get to where he wants us to arrive? You see, this is, you know, a few verses, almost a side comment, you know, a passage that could so easily be overlooked. But here, this Canaanite woman is a role model of faith. Do we match up to her example and overcome our first hurdle? The second hurdle again from verse 22, and I just want to focus in on the phrase, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. And my theme for this bit is that faith accurately sees Jesus for who he is rather than who we want him to be. Faith accurately sees Jesus for who he is rather than who we want him to be. See, Lord, Son of David, isn't just, you know, another name for Jesus. These are titles. They have meaning. They have significance. And even from an earthly and a human perspective, for a Canaanite woman to refer to someone as the Son of David is powerful and significant. Who is David? David is the second king of the nation of Israel. And many count him as the greatest. If he's not the greatest, he's one of the greatest. Second only to his son, probably. But the king of David, the second king of the nation. And it was him. He led the armies against the nation's enemies. He fought and he conquered. He overcame. And it was under his reign that the boundary of the nation, the nation of Israel, extended and grew. It was during him and the reign of his son that the boundary of the nation came close to, not quite almost, matching all of the land that God had given them originally. It took them until David was king to claim as much of the land that God had given to them. Son of David. Son of David. She's acknowledging that this man before her is a true descendant, a true king in the nation that wars against her own nation. She says, Son of David, you're a true king. I know that. I can see that from your reputation and what you do and how you go about things. But last time there was a king like that, a king like David. My people suffered. My people experienced the judgment of God. My people were pushed out. I wonder what you would have been thinking if that was you. If you had to approach someone like that. With all that in your background. Son of David. A true king. Of the people who, at least, you know, historically, are my enemies. She saw Jesus accurately for who he is rather than who she wanted him to be. But she doesn't just stop at Son of David, but she also calls him Lord. And this isn't just being polite. You know, or someone with a big robe and a fancy costume who sits in London. This means that this person has power and authority over me. This person has the right to instruct me, has the right to direct me, has the right to tell me to go and expect me to go because he is Lord. She recognizes her position against Jesus, that he is higher and that she is lower. That she has to acknowledge his instructions, his command, his authority. And if he says go, then that's the way that she should be going. Lord, Son of David. not just an earthly king, not just a master, one with power and authority, but also the Jewish Messiah. See, in this title, in this announcement, in this proclamation, in this request, you know, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. She's saying, I know who you are. You're the Messiah. You're the one promised to the Jewish people. You're the one that's going to give them liberation. You're the one that's going to deliver salvation to people. It's you. One of the commentators highlights the fact that this is a proclamation of Jesus' messiahship before Peter does. So those outside the people of faith recognize who Jesus is more clearly and earlier than even his own disciples. Lord, have mercy on us, that we wouldn't be as blinded as the disciples were, and that we would have the clarity of vision of this Canaanite woman, that we can truly call him Lord and Son of David, recognizing fully and clearly and accurately who he is and not just who we want him to be. You see, because for her to acknowledge that he is their deliverer, what happened last time? Last time there was a deliverer for the people. They left Egypt and they marched in and came into that land and took possession. That's the second hurdle. Our faith is meant to help us to overcome, that we can see Jesus for who he is, clearly, accurately, and accept him for that, and not try and make him into something that we want him to be, because it's more comfortable for us. If we have the next slide, please. Third hurdle. We're getting through. Getting through. Getting further into the race. Verse 25. The woman came and knelt before them. Lord, help me, she said. Lord, help me. She was confident. She was confident that he would help. Now, this is staggering. This is staggering. She comes to him and she gets turned away. She gets rebuffed. You know, the disciples of Jesus come to Jesus and say, oh, look, hear that woman. She's moaning and whining and complaining. It's like, Lord, Master, just send her away. She's annoying us. She's winding us up. She's getting on our nerves. You know, we're being irritated by her. And Jesus didn't doesn't answer her request. It's only when the disciples come to Jesus and say, Lord, this is annoying us. This is winding me up. You know, get away from me before I explode or something. If I do something, I know I'm going to be wrong, because whatever I do around you is all normally wrong. But so save me from this. Please, Lord, do something. And he goes and he interacts. But it's a limited interaction. But she persists. She's insistent. Lord, I need your help. Why is she doing that? Why does she do that? What's she expect? Does she really truly believe that the Lord will help her? Not simply that he can help her, that he's able to help her. You know, his reputation has far exceeded and gone ahead of him all around the region. She knows he can. But she expects he will. Do we consider ourselves such people Do we have that kind of faith that we go to Jesus with that level of confidence that when we ask for his help, he will help us? He will help us. In kind of life and ministry, as I've interacted with different people in different times and situations, sometimes I think this could be our biggest challenge. We know he can. We believe theoretically, but we don't deep down in our hearts as well as our minds agree together that he will. This lady had radical confidence, not just that he can, but that he would. He would. Worked again. Fourth hurdle. Almost at the end of the race, but there's still more. Overcome offense. Verse 27 of the passage. "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Now, this part of the Bible, I think many of us find challenging or just uncomfortable. That Jesus would turn to this woman and, in effect, call her a dog. It's like just not pleasant, is it? It's kind of rude or nasty. We would consider it outrageous or offensive. But she doesn't get offended. She overcomes any possible offense by being called a dog. And it requires faith to do that. Now, some scholars have said that Jesus could have been doing a fairly traditional rabbinic thing and tried to test her to see how sure, how confident, you know, how really desperate she was for this by doing this, pushing her away to see if she actually came back. Because if you pass the test and you come back again, then you would get your real answer and not just... It's possible that this is just a normal kind of banter interaction between these two groups of people and that, you know, was common and normal and she wasn't at all upset or offended by it. It's possible. But both of those things are lost to us at this point in, you know, the distance... lack of experience of that culture as well as time. But her response demonstrates whether Jesus was pushing her away, whether it was just common language, normal banter, or if she was actually offended by this term, that she rose above it. She overcame it. She didn't let it stop her from receiving from Jesus all that she needed. She was able to recognize him as master, even though she was a dog. You see, the thing that I'd missed before when I've read this passage so many times is that the master is the one at the table. The Jewish people are considered to be the children, and potentially the dog is a pet dog to the child, but both of them acknowledge that the master is the one that provides, the one who is Lord, who is overseeing things. And so even as a dog, if you get close enough to the table, you're still blessed. You see, she didn't let any label on her stop her from receiving all that she could from the person she accurately saw as the son of David, as Lord, as the Messiah, because she saw him sitting at the table, him orchestrating things, him being the one that provides everything. And therefore, I don't mind being a dog because I'm still next to your table and I can still get what I need from you. Because I'm willing to overcome any offense I might think or feel. That I've overcome the challenges because I've seen you accurately, even though some bits I struggle with. I've seen and I've recognized who you are and who the history between our two people groups. But I still need you. I still need help from you. And I believe I will get the help that I need. And so we come into land with a finishing line. Verse 28 of the passage. Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. She got what she asked for. She received the outcome of faith. What is it that we're seeking Jesus for? Now, thankfully, we don't have demon-possessed daughters. But if we did, would we be able to overcome the hurdles of faith? It might not be a demon-possessed daughter. It could be an issue at home, you know, with your brother, your sister, your parents, an auntie, an uncle. It could be a work situation. It could be a community situation. You know, there's the vandals up the road, or, you know, there's people dealing drugs, or you're nervous in the evenings when it's dark and you're coming home. Whatever the issue is, let us be those that engage with it from a faith perspective. Overcome the hurdles, rise to the challenge, and get to the finishing line, because there we receive the answer. And of course, ultimately, our finishing line is mortality. Because that's when we receive the ultimate gift of faith. And that's the full expression of eternal life. And it's eternal life with Jesus. That's who he is. Great and glorious, as we sung earlier. So, are we ready? Are we set? Have we set off on our race of faith? Have we overcome the hurdles that this life presents to us? Because when we reach the finish line, we will receive the reward of faith. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are the rewarder of our faith. And we ask and cry out to you that you would encourage us, you would equip us, and you would enable us to rise to the challenges that our faith can enable us to overcome. That there wouldn't be a hurdle that would stand in our way. And that we would reach the finish line of faith and receive all that you have done for us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. We're going to sing once again, and the song we will sing is "You Chose the Cross." So if you're able, please stand as we sing this song.